do to you?
Now is dirt, obscene, things that are ruined, our soil, and so forth and so on.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I always remember Harold Broadwater telling me early in my time here, when we talked about what he did for a living. He said he enjoyed playing in the dirt so much as a child that he just took it up as a career. And he made a pretty good career of it. He was, as you would say, dirt diversified. Farming and hauling and working in the cemeteries and so forth. Apparently pretty good living to be made in dirt. And whoever coined the phrase dirt cheap hasn't tried to buy much of it lately, because it isn't. Scott Sanders and I have frequently had this conversation that as a society, the further we become removed from the soil, the worse for us altogether. And I truly do believe that the worst elements in our society, many of them probably have a direct correlation with our disdain for dirt. And certainly, many of the most profound teachings of Jesus were based on the assumption that his hearers understood the baseline value of the soil on which they trod. For this reason, I have come not to like the way that our society uses the word dirt. It is almost always a pejorative. Things that are obscene are dirty. What did dirt ever do to you? And how is dirt obscene? Things that are ruined are soiled, and so forth and so on. I don't care. That particular turn in the language. So sticking more closely to my own understanding of the word, I would say to our graduates and to all the rest of us as well, be dirty in the best possible and most biblical sense of the phrase. And what is the best possible and biblical sense of the phrase? In the parable, the explanation of the parable that Jack read for us this morning, the parable of the sower and the soils, one of Jesus' best known of parables, he pictured the message of the gospel as seed and the people into whose lives it fell as soil. And in this vein, Jesus looks at four different scenarios, and I'll point out as we begin this that in all four scenarios, the dirt is the same. No difference in the dirt. Even though three of them end in failure and only one ends in success, in all four instances, the dirt is identical. The problem is not the dirt. The problem is the introduction of destructive external actions or foreign materials into the dirt. For instance, some seed fell on the dirt at the side of the road. And everyone hearing Jesus would have understood this. They sowed the fields right up to the edge of the road, and the method of sowing was to sling the seeds by hand, so some of it was going to fall on the road or on the shoulder of the road. And for what it's worth, the roads were mostly dirt roads, and the shoulders of the roads were definitely dirt shoulders, and the dirt on the road and the dirt in the shoulder was the same as the dirt in the field. No difference in the dirt. The problem involved the passage of a million feet, tromp, tromp, tromping, until the dirt was packed so tight and hard that the seeds didn't work down into it. They just laid there on top. Now, if they were to lay there long enough, and if the rain was to come in a timely fashion, some of those seeds would still start putting down their tiny rootlets and force a crack into that hard-packed soil and stand up and become something. But in terms of this parable, Jesus wants us to understand that they didn't remain there that long because the birds saw the seeds laying there on the surface and swooped down and ate it up. Now, I'm normally pretty fond of birds, as most of you know. There are occasions when I'm not fond of birds. When you have sowed seed that they can get at, and some birds can get at it pretty well despite precautions, birds can be problematic. Even when you have prepared the soil, loosened it up, turned it over, so that the seeds, even if you're just throwing them on top, are going to fall down into the crevices and they're going to get worked by sun and rain and everything else down in there. Even when you do all that work to make the seeds sink down into the soil, the birds will still get some of it. You live with that knowledge. But how much of it are the birds likely to get if it all is just laying there on the hard, packed surface? It is a bird buffet. So Jesus didn't leave us hanging. He explained his thought clearly. When the soil of our life has been trodden into hardness, the seed of the gospel cannot penetrate, and Satan swoops down and snatches the seed away before it can take root. The problem is not the dirt, but external action taken on the dirt that enables the great enemy of our souls to snatch away the seed. Two graduates and two others, I would say, this world that we live in is fallen and it is hard. And there are agents and elements of the fallen world that will work assiduously to harden our. And it is not probably any one incident, something more like the passing of those million individual feet, this betrayal, that disappointment, all those frustrations, one at a time, one after another. Each encouraging us a little bit more not to care. Bad news. Barbaric undertakings. One after another. Each encouraging us a little more not to open our hearts. And it happens to us. And when the day arrives, when we have become hardened. Here's a good Bible study for you. Check out every reference in Scripture, every last single one, to the phrase hard-hearted. And see what God thinks of hard-hearted people. And there's a reason for God's negative evaluation of hard hearts. The basis of the law, the substance of all the law, can be found, Jesus says elsewhere, in two simple propositions. These two propositions are: love the Lord your God with everything you got. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. This is all the law. It's also all the prophets. It's also all the wisdom literature. And all of our great failure, which is called sinfulness, is a failure to love either God and or our fellow man. And the thing that God sets out to fix in us, the thing that He has gone to such lengths to address in us, is our hard, unloving, fallen, sinful. Now again, the fallen world will not cooperate with God's plans for our hearts. The fallen world will work to harden us ever more. And if it succeeds, God's truth will not be able to penetrate, at least not immediately, and Satan will make every effort to snatch away the seed before just the passage of time or fortuitous providential circumstance might make a difference and allow it to root. The good news is that God has a plow and a harrow for breaking up hard soil. And we need to constantly, continually invite Him into our life so He can do His work, so the gospel will find loose, prepared, receptive soil in our hearts. Second scenario was the rocky soil. And again, as in the first scenario, same dirt as the not rocky soil. The problem is in the introduction of something that isn't dirt, namely, the rocks. How many of you have passed a sign in somebody's low, sumpy, depressed place on their property? The sign says, "Wanted, good, clean, fill, dirt." Everybody see those signs? How many of you have passed a sign that says, "We'll take 20% dirt, 80% rocks, broken concrete, and porcelain shard"? Have you seen that sign? I haven't seen that sign either. That may be what some people get that put up the sign that says they want good, clean, filled dirt if they don't monitor what comes in there. But you know why they don't advertise for that? Because what they hope to grow on that place when it is done can't eat rocks. Too much rock in the dirt is a problem. If there's enough, too much. The roots of the plant may get a good start because there's dirt on top. And that's all they know. Dirt. I found dirt. So they begin to grow. They begin to root. They begin to spring up. But when the plant reaches that point at which it needs depth of root to thrive, it can't have depth of root without depth of soil. And it can't eat rock. American spiritual life overall is distressingly shallow. A little dirt thrown over a lot of hard, lifeless, unnourishing rock. As a people, it is the unfortunate truth that we are nominal Christians, cultural Christians, traditional Christians, but not as a people sold out to the purpose of God, total Christians. There is, of course, the cliche of the Christmas and Easter Christians, and cliche it may be, but the breed exists. Those whose only expression of spirituality pops up around holiday observances. As I say a word to those graduating from high school, I will tell you that a lot of young people think they are Christians until they get to college, and their faith is seriously challenged for the first time. And fails. Now, I want you to understand the problem is not in Christianity. Christianity is up to the challenge. At least Christianity with depth of root is up to the challenge. The reason so many college students lose their faith is that their faith never had any depth of root, and so was not prepared when the big moment of challenge arrive. Now, I hope and pray for all the young people in this congregation, and I look out today and see that, you know, some of them are my own grandchildren. I hope and pray that for the young people in this congregation, the years that we have with which to labor with them and for them through their childhood creates something deep. That we will have pried out the rocks and cleaned and prepared the soil until the message of God can penetrate to the core and produce someone who is not shallow, as so much of the faith in our culture is shallow. Someone who belongs to Christ through and through and will stand up when the moment of challenge comes. Third scenario, some seeds fell on soil, same dirt, into which too high a concentration of weed seed had found its way. The desired seed sprouted and sprang up because it had lots of dirt. So did the weeds sprout and spring up in the same dirt, and the weeds choked out the desired plant. And Jesus said the weeds were, I will paraphrase, worries and wants. Worries and wants. And Jesus had plenty to say on many occasions about worries and wants. But he talked about worry. It often had to do with birds and flowers and God's care for his children and how no amount of worry will add anything positive to your life. But trust in God will add plenty of positive things to your life. The Bible is no more silent about wants. It says that it's because we want so many things so very badly that trouble arises between us. And there's a reason why the Ten Commandments include that bit about coveting, worries, and wants. You know, I'd have more time to dedicate to the kingdom if I didn't have to work so much overtime to maintain my standard of living. In my heart, I know that God wants me to do this or go there, but this is scary and there is terrifying. Things that frighten us, or the things we so desperately desire, can choke the life right out of our spirituality and either bludgeon or lure us into conformity with the world. And bludgeoning or luring, the stick or the carrot, worries or wants. It makes very little difference if the end result is that we are pulled away from God and brought into conformity with the world. Our graduates and each of us will find no end of things to worry over. We will all discover many things that we want. And Satan knows this. And will use it against us. And at moments of extreme worry or desire, it becomes so very difficult to see anything else. The thing that we are really afraid of in the moment becomes everything we see and all we can think about. The thing that we want so badly at the moment occupies our whole consciousness. How many of you remember, or if it didn't happen to you, have known young people who thought, if I could just have that car, my life would then have purpose and meaning. Guess what? Things don't give you purpose and meaning. But at the moment that you want it so badly, that's a difficult point to make. We need to trust God in the big picture and put our life in His hands and ask Him to come in and transform us so that He takes away our fears and leaves us wanting to glorify and please Him more than we want anything else. And the final scenario, the one that we hope for our graduates and all of our young people, some seed fell on good soil. Soil not packed into hardness, but plowed and ready and receptive. Soil not filled with dead, lifeless rock, but cleaned and ready. Soil not poisoned with worry and want, but purified and ready for the seed. And when the seed of the gospel falls onto such soil, produce follows. Not only will you or I find our place before God through the work of Jesus Christ, but because of our example, because of our ministry, because of our holiness, because of our spiritual mode of living, 30, maybe 60, maybe 100 others will find their place before God as well. If I could ask you to choose a legacy, you can only have one or the other. Would you rather leave $1 billion in the bank for other people to fight over when you're gone? Or would you rather it be said that 100 other souls know God and are saved? Is that really a choice? To our graduates and to the rest of us, I will say, be dirty in the best possible biblical sense of the word. And if you know that the soil of your life has been impacted and affected, trampled, hard and insensate, filled with dead, lifeless rock, choked with worries and wants, and needs plowed and cleaned, made ready, so that the gospel can again root deep and make produce in your life. If you know that this is your state, then we'll have a moment of invitation and we'll give you the opportunity to respond.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.